Can anyone live without hope? Despair, despair is living without hope. One sign of despair is suicide. You know, we had in our community this week in high school in Brainerd, one of the students tragically took their own life. And so we've obviously prayed for that family, that situation. I'd like to share just a few statistics about this suicide in our country. It's the 10th cause of death in our country. Each year, roughly 45,000 people take their life. And for every 25 attempts, there's one who succeeds. So that means there's over 1 million attempts a year. Suicide is a rate of 13.4 per 100,000 people. So that's a pretty high rate. And white males account for 7/10 of those who succeed. And the rate is highest in middle age. These are just some things that point to the reality that this is not an encouraging thing. It's on the rise in our society. And this is another sign that points to the reality that many people lack hope. They don't believe they can deal with their situation. They are overwhelmed by their life's circumstances. They feel isolated. They feel alone. And they don't see the point of continuing to press on in their life. Perhaps you've heard of Viktor Frankl. He wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Holocaust survivor, and he saw firsthand people who gave up, who gave in to despair, and those who seemed to be able to endure under impossible circumstances and be able to continue on. Regarding the difference between the two, he said this: those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. In other words, if I have hope, if I have hope, I can bear with almost any challenge that is thrown at me throughout the course of my life. Today's readings revolve around hope. In our first reading, Abraham is there, and he's able to have hope that through this deep faith that he has in God, that God is going to be able to bring about some good through this seemingly unreasonable or crazy request. Likewise, in the gospel today, Jesus reveals to his inner circle of apostles this glimmer of his true glory. And this will be something that helps them in the days ahead when they face the passion, the death of Christ, and later on when they're out proclaiming and sharing the good news. It'll be a reminder to them that, yes, we do have a hope, that our God is with us. He is a powerful God, and Jesus is truly his Son. Hope means two things. There's kind of two ways we can talk about it. There's a passion and a sentiment. As a passion, it is an impulse that pushes us to obtain some tangible good, which is attainable, but not without difficulty. So it gives us the sort of the hope to go and pursue that. It sustains the farmer who sows the seed, the seafarer who goes out and sails on the sea, the man who enters into a business transaction hoping to make some profit. This is a sort of hope which is a passion, and it's a force within us, ourselves. The object is directed towards something outside of us, some object that is material or tangible and found in this life. There's another kind of hope, supernatural. Supernatural hope. This sustains the Christian in the midst of obstacles encountered when attempting to attain salvation and holiness. The object of this supernatural hope is eternal life and the means necessary to attain that life. There are three principal elements of the virtue of hope that we can talk about. Love and desire of a supernatural good. You know, our desire for happiness, which is rooted in God, right? God is the source of all happiness. Secondly, the all-powerful help of God. So that God gives us help, that he's able to always be there to assist us in this desire to attain salvation. And thirdly, cooperation, our earnest effort to seek God and attain union with God. which requires that we make use of the means of salvation that are in front of us, so the things that God gives us to attain salvation. So hope, as a theological virtue, is a desire for God as the highest good. So God is our ultimate, basically he's the first thing in our lives. Now hope is rooted in faith. It shows us that earthly joys lack two elements. So all the things that we look forward to in this life, the things that we hold on to at times, they lack two things. One is perfection, and one is permanence. So on the one hand, as good as it is, it's not perfect, right? It's never going to be perfectly, I'm never going to be perfectly satisfied with this thing. And even if I could be satisfied, it's not permanent. At some point, I'm going to lose that thing. And so we recognize that the things of this earth, they're good. There are good things, and we should enjoy them, but we shouldn't make them our ultimate end. Otherwise, we're bound to be disappointed. As opposed to earthly goods, God abides forever. And thus, even though death severs us from earthly goods, one who has their hope in God faces death with confidence, because they are not dismayed by the temporary nature of their earthly joys being taken away. So hope gives us the impulse, the necessary yearning, we might say, to seek God with our whole being. And hope sustains us in this effort until we are able to achieve that goal, until God brings us to himself. Our Lord gives us so many instruments, so many different ways that he draws us or gives us ways to come to know him. These are the things that he disposes us to. To strengthen the practice of the virtue of hope, we must strengthen the foundation upon which it rests. So to make our hope more solid, we should meditate and consider the motive. So how do we get hope? Well, it's God's power, right? That's why we should have hope. We don't hope in ourselves, that we can do this ourselves, but we have hope that God loves us, that he's able to help us, that he's able to bring about our salvation. So we should meditate upon that, and that will help us to strengthen our hope. By giving us the help of his grace, God does not mean to substitute his action for ours. He simply means to supply us with what we need, to give us sufficiently what we need to attain salvation. So we have to guard against the two excesses that pose hope. On the one hand, presumption, and on the other hand, despair. I think we see these in our world around us. On the one hand, you know, we kind of think, you know, there's nothing to worry about. You know, everyone goes to heaven. And on the other hand, I can't live right now. I can't face the challenges that I'm with. So we see a lot of people in these two extremes. So presumption expects salvation from God without using the means that are given, right? It's that old story of the car, the boat, and the helicopter. Maybe you've heard that one. There's a flood or a hurricane or something like this, and the guy is there in his house, and the car drives up, and it's the emergency guys, and they're like, "Hey, we're evacuating. You want to ride?" "Oh, no, I'm good. God is going to take care of me." "Okay." Well, then the water starts to rise, and the guy's like, "Well, this is not good. Well, I'll go to the second floor of my house." So he goes up the second floor, and then a boat drives by, and says, more rescue workers, "Hey, do you need a ride?" "No, I'm good. The Lord is going to take care of me." "Okay, all right." And then, you know, water comes up more, so he goes up on the roof of his house, and then the helicopter comes in. "Oh, do you need a ride? We're here to save you." "Oh, no, I'm good. God's going to take care of me." You know, and then, of course, the water goes up, and the guy drowns, and he gets to heaven, and he says, "Well, Lord, what happened there? Well, I gave you a car, a boat, and a helicopter. You just didn't take any of those means," you know. So that's sometimes our response, is that we have all the things at our disposal, but we just never make use of them. So that can be a problem, presuming that I don't need to make use of those things. Pride can also be another source of presumption, which allows us to think that our own strength is enough, that I can overcome these challenges, these dangers, these occasions of sin, these risks. They're not going to affect me. I'm able to overcome those things. Our Lord promises us victory, yes, but on condition that we watch and pray, that we receive the help that we need. So on the other side, we have despair. Despair results from discouragement. If we fail in some area of our life, if this is a common thing that I continue to struggle with, we can get caught up in this thought or this feeling that, you know, I'm stuck. I can't get over this. I can't change. And we despair of salvation. And instead of following the path towards the Lord's assistance and guidance and trusting in His mercy, we begin to go down a different path and we say, I can't be saved. I might as well just enjoy the things, the simple pleasures that I can get a hold of in this life. And we turn our back on God and go down a different way. Hope allows us to habitually live this spiritual union with God. In a sense, already living the life of heaven. In our time, we need to pray for an increase in the virtue of hope. Now this, it's a theological virtue, so we can't make it happen ourselves. We have to receive it. It has to be given to us. This season of Lent is a wonderful time to detach ourselves from earthly things, to make time for prayer. You know, what are the things that try to steal your hope? What are the things that try to steal your hope for eternal life? Is it sin? Well, go to confession. Is it preoccupation with earthly matters? Well, make time for prayer and immerse yourself in God. Does hope seem too feeble to overcome the problems of society and the world as a whole? Well, meditate upon the reality that all things are under God's care. Maybe there's something, some challenge outside of your control that you can't overcome, like illness or something like that. Consider the reality that this life is temporary. And our hope does not lie here. It lies with eternal life with God. You know, if we see someone near us who is hopeless, do we reach out to them? Do we speak to them? Do we try to share with them why we have hope? The hope that lies within us can be a powerful aid to those around us who are struggling. Why do we have hope? The apostles would experience the terror of the passion, the death of Jesus, and not until later, till the resurrection encounter and strengthening with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, would they recall this moment on Tabor where they saw Christ transfigured before them. We too must remember the moments when God gives us signs of hope and hold on to those things. We too must allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us. May we ever meditate on the reality that our hope lies not in ourselves, but in Christ. O my God, relying on your infinite goodness and promises, I hope to attain pardon for my sins, the help of your grace, and life everlasting, through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen.